This is how you can scale your business. All of it is about building the business, getting the right people in the business, like the right property managers, contractors, plumbers, roofers, inspectors, insurance agents, everybody in the business. And then we have them do the work for us.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
I've got Dustin Heiner here with me today. I'm excited to chat with him. Dustin, how are you?
I am blessed, Neil. How about yourself?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks. I'm excited you're here. It's going to be a fun conversation. You've got a breadth of experience. So let's dive in. Tell me this. We all got started in real estate somehow, somewhere, someplace. What was your first entry point to real estate?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'm a real estate investor. That's what I love to do. I've been blessed to be able to quit my job when I was 37 years old. I was able to quit my job. I'd have rental properties making me money every single month, so I didn't have to work. And so I like the term being successfully unemployed because I have money coming in from outside working that dead end job, or I like to call the just over broke job. And so let me quickly go back to the beginning. So I have always been taught, just like all of us, that we go to school, get good grades. Then you take those good grades and you go to college and you get more good grades, but you get thousands and thousands of dollars into debt. And then you take that piece of paper, that degree that they give you, and you go to companies and you try to get a career at a company and then hopefully work there for 40 plus years and then retire when you're 65, 70 years old and hopefully live on what you managed to save that entire time. Well, I'm following the exact same plan, doing that exact same thing. But at the same time, I've always been entrepreneurial, you know, starting businesses, that type of thought. So when I was young, I was 13 years old, I had a newspaper route. That's where not a lot of people know what newspapers are anymore, but yeah. I would ride on around a bicycle at 5 a.m. with bags of newspapers and throw them at 5 a.m., banging them on garage doors, waking people up. Yep. I had a graphic and website design company. I even had a skateboard manufacturing business. I started a convenience store and a pizzeria, all from the ground up, but at the same time, doing that same thing, that 9-to-5 job. So I got the most stable, secure job I could ever think of. It was in California. California is not going away. The local county government in California, and one of the governments there, and doing IT, all never going away. So I'm working that 9-to-5 job, just like everybody else. And at the same time, I bought one rental property. That one rental property made me $317 that very first month. And I thought, my goodness, I need to be an investor. I need to really do this. But Neil, you know what happens. Life started getting in the way. My wife and I started having children, 1, 2, 3, and 4 children. I just lost sight of that. But this is what really shoved me or catapulted me into becoming a real estate investor. So by the time my wife had her fourth child, I was still working that 9-to-5 job. And then I went on paternity leave. That's where the dad stays home with the mom, changes poopy diapers and all that good stuff and bonds with the baby. Well, after about 2 weeks, I go back to work. And in that same week, I go back to work on a Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon. I get a call from my boss's 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 secretary, like the top dog. And she says, Dustin, would you please come to the office? And I said, sure. And then I hung up the phone and I paused for a second. I thought, why in the world did they call me to the office? Like, this isn't normal. And I've seen plenty of movies. Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon is not a good sign.
That's right.
And then I started thinking, a couple months before, I remembered that there was some rumors or some rumbling going on that there could potentially be layoffs in the county. I immediately shook that off. I said, there's no way. I have so much seniority here, stable, secure job. I'm good. So I get up and I walk down the hallway to my boss's office. Now, this hallway isn't very long. In fact, it's kind of short. But every single step I took, it felt like the hallway got longer and longer and longer. It felt like my feet became lead bricks. And I started thinking, my goodness, we just had our fourth child. She's literally 2 weeks old. If I lose my job right now, this is going to be bad. Well, I get through the hallway. I turn the corner. I see my boss's door. His door is closed. And I see a secretary there. She is a super sweet, nice old lady. And she says, Dustin, would you please have a seat? And she's trying to console me with her eyes, kind of sheepishly grinning at me because she knows everything about what's going on. I know nothing about what's going on. So I go and I take my seat and I sit down there and I start thinking about my life. Everything that I've been taught to basically work my life until I'm 75 years old, if that gets taken away from me, I thought, oh my goodness, did I just waste my life on this? And then we just had our fourth child. If I can't pay for food, what does that make me as a father? Does that make me a failure as a father, as a husband, as a man trying to provide for his family? Well, as I'm sitting there, my hands get all clammy. My forehead gets all sweaty because the nerves of everything is just crushing down on me. Then the door to my boss's office opens up. And out walks a lady, a coworker of mine, with a piece of paper in her hands. She is noticeably upset. She's not necessarily crying, but you could totally tell her world has been rocked. Well, as she passes by me, my boss says, "Dustin, would you please come in the office?" I get up and I go to his office and I get laid off. And remember, this is the government. Nobody gets fired or laid off from the government, but I did. This is the reason why I tell the story. So I take that layoff notice and I go back to my desk and I sit down and I realize two things sitting right then and there, Neil. The first thing I realize is I need to get another job. I need to be able to provide for my family. So I was really blessed, praise the Lord, to find another job in the same county. Another department wasn't having the money issues that the one I was in was having. So check, got that done. Then the second thing, sitting in that chair, just getting laid off, I realized the second thing, and this is the reason why I tell the story. I realized that I need to make sure that this never, ever happens to me again. I need to make sure that nobody has the ability to take away my ability to feed my family. So right then and there, I realized that when anybody would ask me the question, "Dustin, what do you do?" You know, we all get that question. Yep. I would reply, "I work for the local county government. I do IT for the county government. I'm basically projecting the value that I put on myself as coming from my job." No, my value doesn't come from my job. My value comes from my God and from myself and from my family. So right then and there, I told myself, I am now always going to respond that I am an investor, because I knew I needed to be an investor, but life got in the way. And so right then and there, I started telling everybody I was an investor. Now, it may so happen that 100% of my money came from my job. That's now my part-time job. I am now a full-time investor. So fast forward the story, started buying property after property after property, each one making me $250 or more in passive income. Eventually, I had 30 plus properties and I realized, my goodness, even though I'm making $75,000 a year at this job, I'm losing money. So the last part of the story, I went to my new boss, good boss and all, and I said, "Boss, I'm laying you off. Like, here's your 2 weeks notice." You know, we laughed a little bit. He says, "Dustin, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't have to do anything. I own real estate that makes money for me while I sleep." And the last part of the story, so I used to work downtown, walk a mile and a half to and from my car because I was too frugal, pay for parking, to and from my car. I walked this walk 1,000 times. Yeah. Well, if you remember that short hallway, they got longer and longer and longer. My feet became like lead bricks. Well, this last walk, I felt like I was walking on clouds because I knew I would never, ever need a job again. And the reason why was because of real estate. And on top of that, everybody listen, you listening to this, you need to realize that you will never get paid what you're worth. You are worth so much more than anybody could ever pay you. And this is how you'll know. Your boss is paying you just enough to keep you working, but not take so much money out of their pocket, because then they would also lose money, but then just enough to keep you from quitting. They want you to work and not quit. And so what happens is if you got paid what you're worth, you would absolutely have them go broke. Instead, if you create businesses, if you invest in real estate, if you do things that take you out of that cog in the machine type of thinking of working 1 hour, getting paid for an hour, you would then become your own business owner, you become an investor, and you take yourself out, you become financially independent. So that's why I tell the story. So I'll pause it because you probably got plenty of questions.
No, man, that's good. There's a lot there to unpack, right? It's an amazing story about dealing with a government, which seems like the most stable job that one could possess.
I thought so. I found, though, that it is so much more risky working for anybody, even the government, than investing myself. Because I always thought, oh, it's risky to invest. If one person has anything over you, not over you, but like the ability to take away what you're using to provide for your family, that is not good. Instead, I found it's more risky to work for somebody else than investing in real estate.
Well, you and I share that mindset. I obtained that when I was 22 years old. Listen to a book. I read it.
Yeah.
Listen to a book on cassette. I remember that's how old school it was. And exact same mindset. Yeah. The biggest risk you can take is working for somebody else because the outcome is outside of your destiny, outside of your hands, outside of your control. All right. So tell me, you started buying rentals. Did you buy them in your backyard? Did you buy them remote? What was that like?
So I was in California, 2006. And back then people were saying, you better buy now. You'll never be able to buy. Yeah. And so I wanted to invest in real estate, but I knew I wanted passive income. I want to be able to feed my family. I wanted to make money every single month. And so I didn't buy in California because I couldn't. Prices were too high. Rents were too low. You couldn't make money, at least where I was looking. So I went out of state. I flew to Ohio, and I don't fly anywhere. I'll pause that by saying I don't fly anywhere anymore. In fact, all the 30 plus properties that I own, I've literally only seen one of them. All of them, I just buy because I have a business that runs itself and I rely on the people that are on the ground. So I invested in Ohio. Fast forward, now I invest in Ohio, Texas, and Arizona. And all my students, we literally invest all over the country. And the big reason why is because we don't have to live where we invest. And the great thing about everywhere in the country, somebody will live there. But the key is to find the experts that are actually going to do the job for you and make sure you're doing it right. Like Zillow's not an expert, Trulia, Redfin, they're not experts. Who are the experts? It's those people literally living there, working there, feet on the ground that are actively doing all that work. So now I invest out of state because I get the best return for my money.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Ever been on the show who's brought everything? It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. How do you manage that business? What's that like at a high level?
Oh, yeah. Well, so you're 100% right that you need to think about managing. Usually a lot of people come, well, how do you find the properties and how do you pay for the properties? That's usually the first thought, but that's not where we start. Where we start is building the business and then managing it, just like you said. So let me give you an example of what that looks like. If you're going to start a convenience store, you know, candy bars and soda machines and all the good stuff, well, you're not going to sign a lease on a location, open the doors and set a box of candy bars in there on the ground. Now, you wouldn't do that. You go out of business in like 2 seconds. What you would do, though, is you would build the business first. You'll hear me say that all the time. Build the business first. So you'll get the gondolas, those are shelving units that all the candy bars go on. You get the countertops, cold storage, bank accounts, cash registers, insurance, employees, like everything in the business before you buy any inventory. Then you build the business and buy the inventory and put that inventory into your business. Same thing with real estate investing. We build the entire business and then we buy a piece of property. That piece of property is not our business. It's a piece of inventory that we put into the business so that it runs itself. So what we do is we buy inventory and we then already have the people on the ground. I'll give you an example of what that would look like. So I've actually had people call me or talk to me and say, Dustin, I have a property and I try to get it rented. And then I went to call a property manager. I said, hey, property manager, I bought and own random address, number 1 Happy Street. I have that. Would you manage it? And they replied, no, I won't manage it. I'll get shot there. So I won't manage it. Well, you no longer have an asset anymore. You have a liability. Instead, how much better would it be if you build the business first, get all the experts working in the business first, and then you call up, hey, property manager, I'm looking to buy this house, number 1 Happy Street. Tell me about it. Will you manage it? How much will it rent for? What type of clientele? What's the vacancy factor? Tell me everything about the property. If they say, no, I won't manage it, you move on. You haven't spent the time and money having that problem. But if they say, this is a good property, this is the type of rents that you'll get. In fact, we have a property right around the corner that's renting for this amount of money. It's the same type of house. That's expert information that's going to help you run your business. And one last thing I'll say, the reason why we call it a business is we make money in cash flow every single month. Like I can't feed my family on appreciation. I feed my family on cash flow. Just like if you had that convenience store, if you knew you can sell a specific candy bar for $1 all day, every day, people, everybody would buy it, but you would buy it for 50 cents. Well, then you would make 50 cents every single time, which would be fantastic. But let's say you don't even have that 50 cents, but you find somebody that will let you borrow that 50 cents. It'll cost you 25 cents to borrow that 50 cents. Well, now you're out 75 cents total, and then you make $1 on that. You sell it for $1, but you make 25 cents. Now, the great thing is, when we do this, we're making money every single month. And same thing with real estate investing. You would not buy that candy bar for $1.25 if you could only sell it for $1. Right. You'd lose money. Same thing with real estate investing. We make sure we're making a minimum of $250 a month in passive income from every single property, because one property, this is how you can scale your business. One property at $250 a month, that's $3,000 a year in passive income. 10 properties is $2,500 a month in passive income. $30,000 a year without working. 20 properties is $5,000 a month. $60,000 a year without working. So all of it is about building the business, getting the right people in the business, like the right property managers, contractors, plumbers, roofers, inspectors, insurance agents, everybody in the business, and then we have them do the work for us. Does it all make sense?
Absolutely. Tell me, at scale there, say you've got 30 properties, how long does it take to actually manage that? You manage the business. What's the time input there?
So have you heard of the book, The 4-Hour Workweek?
Oh, yeah. Great book.
Yeah. The premise is, you know, you try to make it so that you only have to work 4 hours a week, which definitely when you're working 40 hours a week, that looks great. But I'll tell you this, Neil, I think working 4 hours a week is for suckers. I don't want to work 4 hours a week. I don't want to work 4 hours a month. I basically work 30 minutes a month. I just get all my property management statements, make sure everything's good, and then put it aside and go back to play with my kids. And the reason why is because we built a business and we've hired the experts who do everything for us, from the mortgage brokers and property managers, realtors. And what for me, I literally, like I said, only work 30 minutes a month on all my properties because I give my property managers and everybody who works in the business systems, processes, and procedures that they must follow in my business. I don't care how they run other people's business, but when you're working for me, this is how you do my business. And because I've already laid everything out for them, they run it the way I want it to.
It sounds too good to be true. What's the dirty little secret? What's the problem? When's the shoe going to fall? What is it? What's the risk?
The risk
not everything's perfect, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. No, you would not be able, like, if you just took exactly what I said and just tried to do it, there's so many pitfalls. There's so many ways that you can do it wrong. One big way, if you find and hire, select the wrong property manager. What I did, in fact, I was following those quote-unquote gurus. You know, it was in 2006 when I first started investing. I was watching TV late at night. And when it was late at night, infomercials came on. Yeah. Hey, we're coming to your town, free 2-hour seminar. I went to that. I was so excited. And all hype, all salesmanship. And they said, now run to the back and go give us thousands of dollars. I did that. I ran to the back, gave them thousands of dollars. Went to a 2-day seminar, more hype, more sales pitch for a $50,000 course, at $80,000. It was ridiculous. But what I did take was as little information that they gave me, I took that and applied it. And I had my property manager started stealing from me within 6 months because I didn't know what I was doing. They didn't teach it right. They taught me the wrong way to do it. Mm. Now, the right way to do it is building the business first. I did what they told me to do, which is, like I just said, we go through the entire process and then try to find a property manager and then build the business after we have a property. No, no, no. Our property is just inventory. In fact, realtors, they're literally the last step. Our first step is inventory, a city that has good inventory, the right types of homes that people either want to buy or rent. I like 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1200 to 1800 square feet. Not too small for families don't want to live there. Not too big. They got extra toilets and light switches and walls to paint. From there, we pause looking for properties. We then find the right property manager. So getting all back to the pitfall, if you find the wrong property manager, or you just hire some Joe Schmo off the street. In fact, let's say you had that convenience store and you see somebody walking across the street and you say, hey, you look like a property manager. Come on in here, manage my money, manage my inventory, manage my employees, manage my customers, manage my business. No, you would probably have a lot of problems. But what you would do is you would interview the property managers multiple times, multiple occasions, and texting is not interviewing, emailing is not interviewing, phone calls are interviews. So that's the big pitfall. If you hire the wrong person, like I said, my property manager, I followed what those gurus said, and she started stealing from me within 6 months. It was horrible. But I did not, Neil, I didn't hang my head and say, oh, it can't be done. No, I knew it could be done. Remember, I've been entrepreneurial. And so I said, let me approach this from a business mindset. Let me start hiring. Let me start interviewing. Let me make sure I have everything accounted for before I buy the property. Once I did that, my goodness, I was off to the races. Now I just need to get more money to buy the next property. And then with same thing with building a business, I found other, let's say, hard money lenders, private money lenders, private commercial banks that are giving commercial loans, bundle loans, portfolio loans, everything of the above. I've even used, and this is an advanced strategy, I've even used credit cards to buy properties. Kid you not. I've done that as well because I had a business. Just like if you could buy that candy bar for 50 cents and use a credit card and still make 25 cents and sell it for a dollar, you would do it all day, every day.
Yeah. What does this year look like for you? As you look forward to your year and your portfolio, are you still buying? What's it look like for you?
Totally. So I have my bread and butter is residential, 4 units and below. I literally dream. I do it so much. And I've coached so many people now, like literally thousands of students now. In fact, it took me about 8 years to be able to quit my job. My students, and it's not everybody, but my students are quitting as little as 2 to 3 years because I've helped them to figure out, I've already done all these stuff wrong. Don't do this, but do this right way. Now, for me, it is invested. So residential is 4 units and below. That's my bread and butter. I just keep buying those. But now I'm also getting into, I bought recently into a syndication of hotels. So I'm also looking at storage units because there's so many other ways to invest in real estate. Yeah. As long as you view it as a business and you approach it with making money every single month, there are great ways to invest in everything. In fact, mobile home complex, not like the home mobile home trailers, those aren't the best. But if you have the entire, what is it called? The mobile park, home park.
Community. Yep.
Yes. If you have that, you're renting out the land. I mean, there's so many great ways. So personally, I'm still looking for deals. So back in 2022, like a year ago, people were saying, oh, prices are so high. How are you finding deals? Like, well, yes, prices are high, but you have no idea which seller is willing to take a lower offer because we're investors. We never, ever pay full price right. for a property. What we do is we put in multiple offers. Now, we don't twist their arms and make them take it lower. No, we don't do that. We might be helping somebody out. I've had plenty of times where either I or a student said, man, this guy, he's getting a divorce. He just wants to stick it to his wife. So he's selling it for as little as possible. Like, well, hey, we're helping him out. This is perfect. So right now for me, still looking for deals. I like the Midwest is really, really terrific. Yep. Down in the Carolinas, down into Florida. I love anywhere from like $60,000. And yes, there are homes that sell for $60,000. Yep. You make good money in passive income, probably at most about $150,000. Remember, the minimum is $250 a month. And some, like I bought in 2006, I'm making $700, $800, $900 a month right. in passive income from all these properties because rents just keep going up. And here's the great thing, Neil, with economic turbulence and possibly, you know, I think we're in a recession, but with everything probably getting worse, no matter if the market goes up, if the market goes down, or if the market goes sideways, I still make money every single month, just like in 2006, because, and people have said, well, Dustin, 2006, you know, there was a lot of, you know, people were losing their jobs and bad things were happening. There was foreclosures. And I said, well, yes. And they said, well, why wouldn't your rents go down? I said, here's the reason why. Sadly, people will lose their homes and not be able to afford their mortgage, that they get a foreclosure, but they have to live somewhere. Mm-hmm. So what happens? The demand of properties like mine go up. So the demand goes up, rents go up as well. They're going to find another job. Eventually, they're going to take a lower house, and meaning like not a $400,000 house, but they might move into a $150,000, $200,000 house. I'll be there to help them. So my rents keep going up no matter what happens.
Yeah, incredible. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call 4 for Impact.
4 for Impact.
Your favorite quote, when is the best time to plant a tree? It's 20 years ago. The next best time is today. What about that resonates most with you?
Because I would look back when I first heard that, I thought, man, you're right. 20 years ago, if I would have started back then, yeah. Like I'm 43 now and I quit my job when I was 37. So I was blessed. But I started when I was 27. Imagine if I started 5 years earlier or 5 years or 10 years before that, or if I would have just got started sooner. And here's the thing about real estate. People say, well, should I just wait to buy real estate? No, no, no. Remember this. You buy real estate and then wait. Mm-hmm. If you buy real estate where you're making money every single month from the very beginning, and my suggestion, like I said, $250 a month of passive income, you'll weather all the storms and eventually it'll go up. So for me, like if for you listening to this, you're listening to Neil week in, week out on Real Grit. I mean, you're really wanting to do this. It would be a bummer. 20 years from now, you think, oh man, I was listening to Neil and Dustin came on. He was talking about real estate. I wish I would have done it then. You don't want to be that person. You want to be, I'm so glad I took action right then and there, 20 years from now, thinking now I have generational wealth that I can literally give these properties to my kids.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it comes down to, let's say they've already started investing. They already have one or two properties. What does really hold them back is them and like really themselves. And they are the limitation. And what you need to do is get out of that by building a business and relying on other people. And then with that, you put your systems and processes in there. Now, the hard part is figuring those out. But you listen to Neil, you listen to, like, I have a podcast where I literally just give away for free. It's really just a solo podcast, just me sharing all this stuff because I just really enjoy talking about it. But that's the thing is if you build the business, then you're going to have it run itself. I have bought a lot of properties, sadly, off of landlords who said, oh, I'm so tired of managing these properties. Take it from me. Like, I don't want to deal with tenants anymore. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll buy it from you. And then I put my business in place and it runs itself. So if you get out of the way and let other people do it, then you'll be so much better. And the last thing in getting out of the way, thinking invest out of state. If you're living in a city and you're like, oh man, I can only invest here, but it's too expensive. There are so many great places all over the country.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Oh, so there are four legacies that somebody should try to leave in their life or have. Number one is a money legacy, having enough money to buy whatever you want. Number two is a time legacy, have enough time to do whatever you want. So the money leads into time. Time leads into a relationship legacy where you can have the relationships and you build them back up. The last one is a service legacy. For me, what I'm most passionate about now, I've been blessed to have all four. I'm on the fourth one, having a service legacy. So Neil, when I was going to quit my job, I said, I'm going to quit my job in 10 years. I was blessed to check, got that. Then I had another goal to create and have a business that make $1 million a year. And then honestly, I was deterred by the goal. I'm not driven by money. And so it was just a quantitative number to try to reach and I would be able to attain it. I changed that. And this has been so life-changing, revolutionary for me. I've changed it now. I want to see 1 million people to invest in real estate and hopefully become financially independent. So that's what's pushing me now. That's what, you know, I have my podcast. That's what I do in my coaching. I even created a real estate investor conference, an in-person conference. It's not one of those run-of-the-back type of conferences. No, it's one that we are literally a community helping each other out. So that's what I'm passionate about, is helping everybody out, because I found the more people that I serve, the better my life gets and the better their life gets.
What a great answer. This, you may have touched on this, but I'll let you expand upon it. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the real estate community?
Connecting people. See, real estate is not about properties. Business is not about a product. It's about people. Real estate's about people. Business is about people. Everything is all about a transaction with another person. If you can get the person what they want, they're going to help you get what you want. And on top of that, what I am so passionate about, what I love doing, is connecting people. And so what I have with Master Passive Income, my coaching and student community and membership and everything, I bring all my students together. They're all helping each other out. Same thing with my conference, bringing everybody together. Because when I first got started, probably like you, Neil, or you said you were listening to cassettes. I think I was listening to CDs at the time when I really started getting into it. I was all by myself. They didn't have podcasts like your show. Right. They didn't have any of this stuff. I was doing this alone. It was so hard. How much better and faster it is now when you have other people around you, encouraging you, showing you where you might be able to, hey, check, try this out. But at the same time, you're seeing them be successful. Like, it is possible. I can do it.
Yeah, that's great. Dustin, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect. Come on here. You've got an amazing story. For people, they want to find you. They want to follow you. They want to connect with you. What can they do? Where should they go?
Absolutely. So actually, I have a free course I'd love to give out. Do you mind if I give it out to everybody?
I would love that. Wonderful.
Awesome. So if you text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777, rental to 33777, I'll literally give you my course. It'll literally outline everything, show you how to do everything from building the business, making $250 a month in passive income, finding the right property manager, scaling the business to quit your job. You can even go to Master Passive Income, masterpassiveincome.com/free course, all one word, /free course. I'll literally give it to you. But then I also have my podcast, the Master Passive Income Podcast. Like I said, it's me just giving out all this information on how I do it, so you can do it too. YouTube as well. You can even find me. So if YouTube, Master Passive Income. I like Instagram. So you could DM me on there, the Dustin Heiner, T-H-E Dustin Heiner. And honestly, Neil, I'm not that arrogant. It's literally the only handle I could come up with. So the Dustin Heiner on there. One last thing. I created a conference called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and 2022 was our first year. 2023 is another. We're going to be every single year going to be doing it. This year, it's in Phoenix in May of 2023, beginning of May, and then 24, it'll be on the East Coast. But if you go to RubeCon, RewbCon.com, RubeCon.com, if you use a promo code podcast, I'll know you come from Neil's podcast. Use a promo code podcast, I'll give you 10% off. I just want to see people connect. My goal is to see 1 million people to invest in real estate. But it's been great, Neil. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Amazing contribution. I appreciate that. And the audience is indebted to you. So thanks so much. Yeah, you've got a great story. It's fun to hear somebody be able to become financially free and then turn around and share with others the path you've walked and how they can do it too. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, you bet. For everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off-market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving the passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.